The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1989, 12 years and 5 days after leaving Earth, it was Voyager 2's last great picture show, the planet Neptune.
It's hard to describe. There's almost tears in some of the people's eyes here. They have been... so overwhelmed with the quality of the pictures, better than I think anyone really expected. You can see the pictures on your screen now, how crisp and clear they are, what kind of technology, what kind of ingenuity it took to get the Voyager 4 billion miles of traveling through space and have something that you might take a studio quality picture with a craft that is legally blind, crippled, arthritic, and is senile to a certain extent, and over a period of 12 years to come within less than 20 miles of where they thought they were going to hit. And you can see as a new picture comes on here, it's almost something, a plate out of you that you would see out of a textbook. And in fact, the pictures that we're seeing are only half resolution of what they're actually going to be looking at here at JPL over the next few months, weeks, years, and eventually everybody will get to see and to buy themselves.
Using gravity assists from Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus, Voyager 2 was the first spacecraft ever to see Neptune, a trip that would have taken 4 decades without borrowing speed boosts from the solar system's largest planets. In 2012, controversy erupted in the scientific community over whether or not Voyager 2's identical twin, Voyager 1, had left the outermost reaches of the solar system. Voyager 1's sensors detected major changes in the electromagnetic environment, possibly indicating the presence of interstellar cosmic radiation. Scientists continued to examine Voyager 1's findings as it sped away from the sun. In 1991, the first version of the Linux operating system was announced. Michael Rennie, the actor who played Klaatu in The Day the Earth Stood Still, was born on this day in 1909.
I'm not concerned, Mr. Harley, with the internal affairs of your planet. My mission here is not to solve your petty squabbles. It concerns the existence of every last creature on Earth.
Well, perhaps if you could explain a little.
I intend to explain. To all the nations at the same time. How do we proceed, Mr. Harley?
Actor Sean Connery was born in 1930.
My name is Zed. For Zondas, I am an exterminator.
Director John Badham, who directed War Games, Short Circuit, Blue Thunder, and Saturday Night Fever, was born in 1939. Former Star Trek scriptwriter Hannah Louise Shearer, who worked on The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, was born today in 1945. Director Tim Burton was born in 1958. Angel and Buffy producer Marty Noxon was born in 1964. Scientist and inventor Michael Faraday died on this day in 1867. And in 2012, astronaut Neil Armstrong, the first human being to set foot on the moon, died.
We'll read the flag that's on the front landing gear of this lamb. There's two hemispheres, one showing each of the two hemispheres of Earth. Underneath it says, "Dear men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon, July 1969, E.T. It came in peace for all mankind. It has the crew members' signatures and the signature of the President of the United States."
In 2017, Amazon Prime brought The Tick back to live action with a new season after its pilot episode was a big hit with subscribers.
You know, you stole this suit and practically tricked me into wearing it. What were you thinking, Tick?
Oh, I always let destiny do the melon work, friend. Thought is not my area of expertise. Goodness, no. Now what's the plan?
What?
The plan. When you didn't circle back to the fray, I figured you must be pulling some kind of finesse move. Well, I'm all ears. Give me the skinny.
I don't have a skinny. Okay, what am I doing? What have I done?
You just had your first supervillain battle, and you look great!
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader-supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, expanded memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks or anything you might want to order from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. Our original designs can be found on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page on thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Commencing Escape Pod landing procedure. The Logbook.com Escape Pod was written and produced by Earl Payne. Music by Gossip O'Keefe.